It is not rocket science. And we're going to have Alan Roth, who writes the Dare to Be Dull column, and he also writes a blog for CBS. I think it's called the Irritable Investor or something like that. But he's really a good guy, and we're going to talk about how to do it. I got an email from a man, and it was the basis of Monday's column, who's a federal worker who retired with $1 million in his account, and he wasn't one of these rich lawyers who came into government and did a rollover. He did it the hard way by investing. And he said he invested exclusively in stocks as much as he could. And he had ups and downs, but at the end of the day, he wound up with $1 million account. And he said, that's the way to go. I got some counter emails from people who said the way to go is to invest in the steady G fund. And, you know, it's never exciting, but it never has a bad day. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow and see Alan Roth's formula for becoming a TSP millionaire. One of the important things about the TSP, and I think a lot of federal workers don't realize it, is under the old civil service retirement system, you get an excellent annuity that's indexed inflation for life. So you're in good shape. If you're under the FERS system, which most current federal employees are, about 80%, you've got to invest on your own to have a decent retirement. FERS was set up so that the Thrift Savings Plan component will provide anywhere from a third to one half of the money you will have in retirement. So you better be investing, better get that match. So we're going to be talking about how to do that, how it has been done, how it can be done.
Do you know, just from your experience, if there's a one-size-fits-all formula for something like this for feds?
No. In fact, the tomorrow's column is kind of a joke because I give you this formula, three-step formula, and here's how you do it. You invest regularly and often. You get the government match, and you invest in the right funds. And I leave it at that.
Thanks.
Because everybody, one of the rules of thumb that many financial planners will tell you is the sleep at night rule. And if you, when the market dropped, was it 38% 2 years ago, or 42%, something like that. But when it dropped, a lot of people just couldn't handle it. They bailed out, so they sold low, went into the G fund, and now they're waiting to come back. When they do come back, if things work out as they have in the past, they will be buying high. So they'll have sold low, they'll be buying high to come back in. And there are ways to avoid that. Alan Roth is very good at that. But after the most recent crash or recession, whatever, a lot of investment people say all of the rules have changed. You know, the rules used to be if you stuck with the stock market over an extended period of time, you couldn't lose. And those rules may have changed.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought that would have been the one constant we would have seen.
Exactly. I mean, 2 years ago, a friend of mine is a financial planner, and he has a chart in his a wall chart in his office. It looks like a thing you have in a hospital, mm-hmm. and it shows even the Great Depression is just a tiny blip on the overall market for the last 100 years. And the recession of 87 that people talk about, it hardly registers. But after this other one, when we thought we had all these procedures in place for safety, and who would have known it? What's a derivative? I mean, who knew?
Exactly, yeah. So it may have changed how we do things.
Yeah, I guess the bottom line is you have to do what you're comfortable with. If you wake up in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., cold sweat, saying, I did what? I invested in what? Then you shouldn't be in that, even if it might not be the wisest maneuver. Also, there are age factors, too. When you're young, go for broke. Put it all in the stock funds and hope they're down, because you're buying low. The only day you want your fund to be up actually is the day you start cashing out. And as you get older, your strategy needs to change. And we'll look at the life cycle, the L funds as well. And also, I should point out, Randy Irwin from the National Federation of Federal Employees is going to be on, and he's going to talk us about what's happening with the National Security Personnel System. Mm. All those 200,000 people who were pushed into it are now being pushed out of it by act of Congress.
Oh, right. So that's also a huge, heavy issue that's going to be on your turn.
It's a nightmare. And a lot of defense officials got blamed for putting people in SPS, and now they're being blamed for taking them out. But this is strictly politics. This is Congress, a Republican Congress and a Republican president invented the NSPS, and now a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president have said, put the toothpaste back in the tube, kids.
One more question for you about the TSP. A lot of changes are coming to the TSP, not the least of which being the automatic enrollment.
Yes.
Do you think that's going to make any difference as far as how people are able to invest or the cost being spread across a wider pool?
I think they've studied this pretty carefully, and I believe they're now going to put you in for 3%, and then you can opt out or for less or out, or you can opt for more. But I think it'll make a lot of people realize. I try to think back to when I was 20 years old, if there had been things like 401k plans, would I have sense enough to invest in it? Probably not. And would I have felt I could afford to invest anything? Certainly not.
Yeah.
You know, newspaper salaries being what they were. But that said, if you can just get people in it and they're sort of in it before they know they're in it and they see this amount of money investing, yeah, I think it's got to be a plus.